Selling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. It's time to get all the info you need on the Vanderbilt Commodores. This is the Anchor Down Podcast with Vanderbilt reporter Max Hurd.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it, Max.
On Nashville's best sports talk,
ESPN
102.5 The Game.
And the Game Nashville app.
It's time to anchor down and listen up to the Anchor Down Podcast on ESPN 102.5 The Game. My name's Max Hurd. I'm your host. Monday, October the 12th, and it looks like Vanderbilt football is not going to be back on the field for a short while. It's going to be 19 days after we found out this afternoon, again here on Monday the 12th, that Vanderbilt's upcoming game against Missouri on Saturday is postponed to the second Saturday in December, which was the open week that the SEC preserved in between the modified regular season and the delayed SEC championship game for coronavirus postponements. Vanderbilt had dropped under the minimum requisite 53 available scholarship players to play in the game. So they made the call pretty early. Vanderbilt and the SEC announced the cancellation in tandem. The cancellation was because of tests on the Vanderbilt side, although Mizzou did have some key players and players in kind of large position groups, including defensive line, missed their game against LSU, which they won last week. But Vanderbilt will not play Missouri this week. That's pretty relatively new breaking news. We're about to bring on Robbie Weinstein from Vandy 24/7 to discuss that. In the second segment of the show, we will do some recapping of Vanderbilt's 41-7 loss. Second straight week they've lost 41-7, exact same score. That had not happened since 1997. Vanderbilt had played back-to-back games with the exact same score, a couple 35-3 losses in 97 to Florida and Carolina that year. So that's your irrelevant stat of the day. They lost 41-7 to LSU 2 weeks ago. This week they lost 41-7 to South Carolina. Skip to about 15 minutes into the podcast if you want to hear that recapping. For those of you listening over the air on 102.5 The Game, it will come later this hour. But Robbie Weinstein is here now from Vandy 24/7, so let's talk some COVID. It's very disappointing that this game is canceled, but it's certainly the big story of the day for Vanderbilt football, the Commodores, and Missouri not going to play this Saturday. As we mentioned earlier, we're recording this less than an hour after the game was officially postponed here on Monday, so disclaimer in advance before this conversation, things can and most likely will change from what we say here, but as Vanderbilt's game is postponed against Missouri this Saturday, Robbie Weinstein is here from Vandy247.com to talk about it. Robbie, did you expect this at all? And if yes, did you expect it was this possible this early in the game week?
I did not expect it, but I'm not shocked. I mean, Derek Mason was asked directly whether he thought the numbers would be better for the Missouri game. This was right after the South Carolina loss, and he said he doesn't know. He was asked once or twice, you know, whether he was worried about whether they'd actually be able to play or if they would fall below the 53-player threshold that the SEC has, and he didn't really answer that directly. But it's sort of one of those things for me, at least, where like you don't really expect something like this to happen until it happens on some level. So, I mean, it seems like they were down to 56 players against South Carolina, and now our own Brandon Marcello from 24/7 is reporting that they're down around 50 and that number's actually dropping. So, I mean, evidently there have been more issues in the last 2 days since the South Carolina game, and it's not getting better. It seems like a mess.
What was your first reaction on Saturday when you found out about the absences?
That they were going to have a really tough time staying in that game, regardless of, it almost doesn't matter that much who the players are who are missing unless one of them is Ken Fields and you got to change the quarterback. I just think in football, unlike in most other sports, depth is just so much more important. And if you're down to 56 players, you're just going to get worn down over the course of the game. The line immediately jumped from South Carolina 13.5 to 14.5. And as soon as I heard, and you know, pretty soon after that, I did realize who the players were who were out. It was pretty significant. Deshaun Jerkins, Donovan Kaufman, Randall Haney were three of them, Javion Marlowe. I think as soon as I heard that and realized also who the players were, it was just kind of like, I don't know how they're going to win this game.
Do you think Vandy had any thought of backing out of that game at any point?
Well, I'm not sure you can unless you dip below the 53. So no, I mean, I don't think so, but it's not exactly, that was their most winnable game left on the schedule. And so that is not exactly the ideal time to have a bunch of positives or contact tracing and also injuries. It really couldn't have come at a worse time.
So is there anything else you share before we really move on to looking forward about that game Saturday, the lead up process, the players who missed, just anything on that front as all of this popped up?
I think it'll be worth watching. They do have a bye week after, you know, not this weekend, but the weekend after that, and then they play Ole Miss. So I think there are two things worth watching. One is just how many of these guys are going to be actually back for that Ole Miss game. I have heard that Ken Seals is not quarantined right now, so that helps for sure. But there's a lot of time between now and when they play Ole Miss, and you never know what can happen. I think the other thing is that Ole Miss plays this up-tempo, fast-paced, explosive style of offense. Are these guys going to be in good enough shape to keep up when that game rolls around? Because they're not going to be able to evidently practice anytime soon, it doesn't seem like. So I think those are the two things worth watching. Basically, who's going to be able to come back immediately, and if these guys are in shape.
Will the players, to the best of your knowledge, will the players who aren't either positive tests or contact trace right now, will it be the same as it was in preseason, where players who are healthy and able to can go in and condition?
I am not sure on that, because I think the thing is, this is evidently, you know, at one point in the preseason, they shut things down for a few days, but this seems to be a bigger, I don't know if you would call it an outbreak exactly, but there's evidently more cases and more contact tracing right now. So I think when it gets this far, I'm not sure that I don't know the answer to that, but I could see them closing the facility. There are still ways to get work in if you're not quarantined, for sure. I mean, you can just go to the rec center and, you know, get some cardio in or something like that. But it's going to be a huge challenge. I mean, evidently they have a lot of guys who either are in quarantine and can't actually go anywhere, or who are sick.
Robbie Weinstein, Vandy 24/7, talking about the Commodores and Mizzou being postponed this week because of COVID-19 cases and contact tracing for Vanderbilt. The SEC statement via Twitter at 2:30 on Monday: the Vanderbilt at Missouri football game on October 17th is postponed due to positive tests and subsequent quarantine of individuals within the Vanderbilt football program. The action is consistent with SEC COVID-19 management requirements. The game is tentatively rescheduled for December 12th. When this first came out, and it was broken by reporters from the Missouri side first, that info went public from Missouri reporters first, it kind of seemed like it may have been a bit of a mutual consideration. Did you think that could have been in play? And am I correct in saying the SEC statement clears that up, that it was just on the Vanderbilt side here?
Yeah, I think so. The SEC statement didn't mention Missouri's cases. Missouri have had some issues, and they've actually been in the news because their coach, Elijah Drinkwitz, has been more transparent about those cases than just about every other coach in college football. I think they had something like 7 guys out for the LSU game and still won that game, and I think most of them were like contributors. So you and I don't know whether those guys were set back or not or whatever, but I mean, I can't imagine it really helps when the other team that you're facing has also had issues with this, and not just in the preseason, but recently as this weekend.
So the SEC finally has to postpone a game. The Big 12 had done it before them. There had been other games in other conferences that had been moved. What do you think the reaction around the league could be to Vandy and Mizzou getting pushed back to that open week in between the regular season and the title game?
Well, I guess it'll be not as big news if another game does have to be postponed to that date. You know, in some ways, it almost helps the SEC in some ways, because you get to kind of spread the games out more and get another game weekend in. I don't know what the reaction is going to be. I think teams, whether they want to postpone or not, will vary pretty widely, you know, from situation. Like, for instance, I think this is a good thing for Vanderbilt in terms of chances to win this game. I don't think they would have had a shot if they're going to Columbia with, like, 56 players or whatever it is. And they need to get these guys healthy. So, to me, while you never want this to happen in your program, it's better for Vanderbilt, no doubt, to play the game later than to play it right now.
So today is October 12th. You mentioned that the scheduled bye comes up after this. Vanderbilt now does not have a game for at least 19 days. Do you think that could be enough time? I mean, you mentioned the challenges of preparing for Ole Miss. Plain and simple, do you think that could be enough time for Vanderbilt to have everyone they need available for that game?
Yes, I do, because Mason said after the South Carolina game that they learned on Thursday that they were going to be without a lot of these guys. So this is not, you know, it's 19 days from now, that game, yeah, but they've found out like 4 or 5 days ago, so it's going to be something like 22, 23 days from when these guys either tested positive or were told that they needed to quarantine due to contact tracing, even if they didn't test positive. So I do think a lot of these guys probably will be able to make it back, but the problem is if the virus is still spreading in the program and has been over the last, you know, 2 or 3 days, then maybe the guys who have got it more recently or have been quarantined more recently could have an issue getting back in time. The other thing is you just never know if guys who right now are not quarantined and haven't been contact traced in any way, that doesn't mean they can't either get the virus or be quarantined due to contact tracing over the next 19 days. It could totally happen.
Yeah, that's what I'm worried about. But it is a really long time, and I think even if Mizzou's bye week had been the same as Vandy's, which it is not, I still don't think they would have taken that, because this is the best window possible for Vanderbilt just to come back as normal as soon as possible.
The way I would look at it is, for instance, you know, we don't know which of these guys for sure have COVID or which are even quarantined, although we're pretty sure Donovan Kaufman tested positive because he tweeted about it. So let's use Kaufman as an example. He tweeted that on Friday night. So I don't know if he tested positive that day or earlier in the week or what, but he should be back for that Ole Miss game, you would expect, unless he, you know, unfortunately shows symptoms and is really sick or something like that. He has enough time. If he's like asymptomatic or not really that sick, there's enough time for him to get back for that game. Will he be able to play a full amount of snaps? I don't know. But then the problem is when you get to December 12th, what if one of the other safeties who has not had it all of a sudden is put into quarantine due to contact tracing? Like, I think the guys who are out right now, especially the guys who tested positive, like, you're pretty sure that you're going to have them for that Missouri game that has been rescheduled. But everybody else then all of a sudden is in play.
We'll see what happens. I'm sorry if I sound bummed out kind of talking about this. I feel like I do, but it's just it's not good news. And we hope that game on the 31st happened.
Yeah, falling below the 53-player threshold, I don't think that has happened so far in college football, at least not to my knowledge, and certainly not in the Power 5 leagues. There have been games postponed, sure, most recently the Oklahoma State and Baylor game, but that wasn't they didn't say that was because one of the teams fell below that threshold. The Power 5 conferences are generally using the same 53-player threshold for each of them. So getting that low is really kind of impressive in a bad way.
But talking about the 53 scholarship guys, Vanderbilt didn't play any walk on Saturday, right?
No, I mean, not beyond what they would normally have to do, like on, or normally want to do on special teams.
Right.
For instance, Camden Coleman, I think, is a walk on. I guess they could have given him a scholarship and not said anything about it, but he plays on special teams anyway. So, yeah, I mean, I think, for instance, there were a lot of units on the team that weren't affected at all. It didn't seem like, I think the offensive line was exactly the same as it's been. Everyone was good to go. All the quarterbacks were out there for the most part. I think most of the receivers who had played so far this season, like all the contributors at least, were playing. The defensive line, you know, Lorenzo Sergers didn't play, but other than that, everybody else got in the game who normally would. So, you know, I think they did have some starters like at defensive back who were out for whatever reason, but you know, they were able to play that game and all that. I just think it takes a toll on your team over the course of the game when you can't rotate guys in as much.
I mean, had Chase Lloyd, true freshman, starting at safety in this game, had he ever had a first team rep?
He had played. You know, I have the snap counts right here. I think he had played.
Oh, I mean, in practice. if Kaufman was presumably ruled out Thursday.
Yeah, probably not. And he had only played, I think, like two college snaps coming into that game, and all of a sudden he was starting. And he made like seven tackles. I mean, I think he did some solid things, but he also got picked on at times. And, you know, what can you possibly expect from him? I don't mean to rag on him at all. He's a true freshman, you know, three-star recruit who in a normal year would not be expecting to have to start in a game. Even in a crazy year like this, nobody was expecting that he was going to have to start all of a sudden until Thursday. It's not his fault.
We'll see how it goes. Robbie, we'll be talking. Again, this was recorded about now after the news came out, so I imagine we'll find out more potential little details of this, maybe even today, maybe over the next week, and we'll see from there. But thanks for doing this.
Yeah, thanks, Max.
That's Robbie Weinstein of Vandy247.com. That's the website. You should subscribe if you don't already. He's got plenty of inside info on the message boards there, including a ton about football and football recruiting, which is always good to know. And Robbie will join us throughout the year here on the show. His Twitter is at RW Weinstein if you want to follow him there and do not already. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back and do what we normally do on Mondays here on the Anchor Down podcast on 102.5 The Game, which is recap the previous Saturday's football game. But of course, if the next game is canceled before you have a chance to recap the previous, that probably means there's some big news on the cancellation front. But Vanderbilt played shorthanded. They were only three over the scholarship player threshold, as you heard Robbie talking about. They had 56. If you have 53 or fewer, the game is supposed to be canceled. It seems like you can get a league exception to play through that, but Vanderbilt, based on the activity of the previous game and the game that was just canceled, they're going pretty hard by that 53, which I think is a good thing. It was put in for a reason. The SEC was very methodical and took as much time as they could to come up with a plan, and now we're seeing the plan in action. But Vanderbilt lost to South Carolina, a very lopsided loss, 41-7 against a team that on a normal day they're probably pretty equal to, but they certainly were not on Saturday, so we'll recap some of that. Subscribe to the Anchor Down podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and Google Podcasts. We play over the air on 102.5 The Game, Monday nights from 8 to 9 as well. Stay tuned. We'll be right back talking Vandy football. You're anchoring down and listening up with me, Max Herz, on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
This is the Anchor Down podcast.
I ain't got much to lose.
Welcome back to the Anchor Down podcast here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. My name is Max Herz. I'm your host. Vanderbilt's game with Missouri on Saturday, not going to happen. Vanderbilt's game against South Carolina this past week did happen. Not very competitive as the Commodores fell 41-7 for the second week in a row. I said it right at the beginning of the show tonight, but it's the irrelevant stat of the day for a reason, so I'm going to bring it back. It's the first time Vanderbilt has had back-to-back football games end with the same score since October 25th and November 8th, 1997, against South Carolina and Florida, both of which were 35-3 losses. So it is the first game in all of these players' lifetimes, or first time in all these players' lifetimes, that Vanderbilt football has had back-to-back games end on the same score. Unfortunately, none of those duos of scores are very pretty from the Vanderbilt perspective. And Vanderbilt was in this one. It was only 10-0 at halftime. Vanderbilt only played with 56 scholarship players, and they were missing, in my opinion, their three most valuable players from the first two games. Defensive backs Donovan Kaufman and Deshaun Jerkins, and running back Javion Marlowe. To me, those three were the three most valuable players for Vanderbilt in their first two games against A&M and LSU. None of them available. Donovan Kaufman, as Robbie said, tweeted and then deleted the tweet shortly after on Friday night that he tested positive for coronavirus or for COVID-19, and the others were either positive tests or contact tracing. Most likely, Vanderbilt does not release that information, but those are players who Vanderbilt was most likely expecting to have on the field and did not. They attempted to fill for them as best as they possibly could. At running back, they actually did well. Talked about on the podcast last week how Keon Henry Brooks was ready to come back. It was going to be three running backs. I wanted it to be Marlowe and Henry Brooks. Wakefield, not as much of a factor. That was basically what happened, even without Marlowe. Keon Henry Brooks, 13 rushes, 72 yards, plus he also had four catches for 21 yards, including a 13-yard first down gainer for his longest catch of the game. So that's 85 yards on 17 touches. Very good debut for Keon Henry Brooks. Jamari Wakefield only had six carries for 27 yards, so The attention in the backfield has shifted. When Marlowe returns, which will hopefully be next game against Ole Miss, it will be Marlowe and Henry Brooks running the show, each with an opportunity for double-digit carries based on game situation every single time they come out there. In the defensive backfield, true freshman Chase Lloyd, who Robbie and I talked about in the first segment, who had barely played in the first two games, was the starter at safety. And he had a couple missteps, including one on a touchdown, but what can you do? He wasn't expecting to play. You weren't expecting to use him, so you can't fault that man at all. Chase Lloyd, I thought, did an admirable job stepping in the way he did. We don't have details, but I think it's safe to assume he had very little first-team practice time and film time even. I mean, he's potentially a scout team member to get ready for this game. DC Williams played cornerback in place of Randall Haney, who had a pick last game, who was also out and not present at the venue. So Vanderbilt really playing shorthanded, and they hung with South Carolina pretty well until the first drive of the second half. And Vanderbilt started with the football, and 1 week after successfully executing a fake punt run, they tried another one after a three and out. They needed five. They did not get it. They snapped it to Mitchell Pryor, who was the up man. He handed it to Elijah Hamilton, who came off the left wing gunner, came back around to the right side, and was short by a couple of yards. It was after a three and out. It was after Chris Pierce dropped a ball that he had both hands on and had seemingly caught. There was no definitive angle from any of the TV cameras, just that side of the field. It wasn't the open side of the play. It was just not where the TV cameras are, with Vanderbilt coming out of their own end. There was an official right on top of it. You review it, you got to stick with what that official saw. He was literally 2 feet away, and he was emphatic. It looked like it hit the ground. We didn't know for sure, but anyway, that's a pass Chris Pierce should catch. Maybe he did catch it. Again, we couldn't see. But man, you are killing momentum with the fake punt call there. So South Carolina gets the ball. It takes them two plays to score, two carries for Harris from 34 yards out. The touchdown was a 25-yard run. Kevin Harris burned Vandy in the game. 21 carries for 171 yards and two touchdowns, plus a little bit more in the catch-and-run game. Boy, did he kill Vanderbilt in this game, and he was a big factor as South Carolina pulled away as the second half went on, because Vandy scored a touchdown. Vandy got it to 17-7 pretty shortly after that on their next possession. And that's what makes it hurt so much, that if you punt, you get a stop, you get the ball back in the same place, presumably that touchdown drive happens if it's 10-0 versus 17-0. It was well schemed. It was well played. Cam Johnson took it in. And on the drive, Ken Seals was 6 of 6 for 61 yards. Man, was that drive beautiful for Vandy and their freshman QB, Ken Seals. That was great. But did it mean anything after the fake punt? Probably not. South Carolina scores. The play I mentioned with Chase Lloyd right in the middle left a soft zone open, didn't pick up his man for a big gainer, and then Colin Hill on the quarterback run makes it 24-7. It's all Gamecocks, cock-a-doodle-doo from there. Parker Whitehead, another field goal. Kevin Harris, the 88-yard burst, tied for the fourth longest run in South Carolina history. It was the longest run they'd ever had in a conference game, too. Vandy allowed it. And then on the next play, South Carolina somehow goes with the trick play, the double reverse to carry on Joyner, 47-yard run. 2-1 play drives, 25 seconds, 14 points. That made it 41-7 with 10:21 to go. And that's how it would stay until the finish. I can't believe Carolina used a trick play, but I guess they just wanted to put something on film for somebody else to worry about. I'm not mad about it. I just think if that's a play that produced a touchdown, which it did, do you need it up 34-7? I don't know. But they won. So what can I say? The kicking woes continue for Vandy football as we talk about the Commodores' 41-7 loss to South Carolina here on the Anchor Down podcast. Max Herr is hosting here on 102.5 The Game on Monday, October 12th. I don't know if we're ever going to see Pearson Cook again. After he missed a 23-yarder last week, he missed a 29-yarder this week. Did hit an extra point. And Vanderbilt, after he missed the field goal, the next drive, Vanderbilt was in the red zone, had a chance to take the lead, and it should have already been tied 3-3. At this point, it was 3-0 South Carolina late in the first quarter. Fourth and two, after Amir Abdur-Rahman had a great catch to get Vanderbilt down to the red zone after some good rushing by Keon Henry Brooks, who was not in on the first drive, but was great on the first two following that. The second two following that, I should say, drives two and three for the Commodores in the first half, both of which should have led to points. Neither of them did. Keon Henry Brooks did anything he could. The play calling changes in the red zone, which is bad. Vanderbilt's got to get their red zone offense down. Fourth and two at the three. Ken Seals has a chance to hit the running back on the RPO. Derek Mason said in his halftime interview with Don Davenport on the SEC Network, he said that we gave Ken Seals the option there, and you got to be more decisive. He had a moment to throw it where he probably could have had the touchdown to, I believe it was Henry Brooks coming out of the backfield. And instead he chose to tuck and run, and he couldn't scamper past anybody. Ended up losing yardage. Just not decisive enough, and that's the freshman moment of the day for Ken Seals at a moment where Vanderbilt could have taken the lead. South Carolina gets a touchdown going 96 yards on their next drive on an emphatic 12-play drive. That made it 10-0. Vanderbilt did not lead or tie the game from there in a game that they should have either led or tied from that point on. And then it becomes not close after the fake punt call, which, again, I very much disagree with the decision. I know they want to fake it. They haven't been shy about it. Deshaun Jerkins said on this podcast last year after he ran a fake punt for a first down in the 2019 opener, he said, we want to fake it every game. And that was after Devin Fitzsimmons' first game as special teams coach. So I think they're operating with that mentality. But the unfortunate thing is you can't force it. You got to pick your spots. And this was not the spot to do it. And I think it cost Vanderbilt a legitimate shot at the game that they could have had. So some other plays down the stretch that allowed it to get out of hand, but it was donezo. It was done from, I guess, really 17-0. You could say it was done at 24-7. I would say it was done from 17-0 for Vanderbilt as they lost 41-7 South Carolina. One last point I want to make about this ball game. It looked like Devin Boddy was not present. We were told that three guys with B last names, Keon Henry Brooks, who I guess doesn't technically have a B last name anymore as he's added the hyphenation there, and Henry to previously his, went by Keon Brooks last year. James Bostic and Devin Boddy came back for the Commodores. All coming back from injuries. Henry Brooks did everything you could ask for and more. Boddy was not seen. So he may have been involved in the COVID absences. And then James Bostic was in uniform, wearing his brand new number 4. He didn't play. He played in garbage time. And this was after Derek Mason said last week he went one by one with those guys. Here's what they're going to bring. Said James Bostic is the best route runner in the program. Didn't use him. Didn't even put him in for a series instead of Pierce. Or maybe Abdur-Rahman, who is potentially on his way back from a nagging injury. Although he looked to be pretty good in this game. Only had 2 catches, but they were athletic plays. He looked healthy. So a no-show for James Bostic, who I would like to see more from. And we did see the first of the 2 true freshman wide receivers. Will Shepard did play on what I just referred to as those garbage time scenarios. Vanderbilt with the ball late, down 41-7. They also put Mike Wright in. Mike Wright completed a pass. He completed it to Jaden Harrison. We got to see what Harrison can do working his way down the field. Again, not against starters for South Carolina at that point in the game. But we got to see Jaden Harrison run an actual route instead of a gadget play, which was good. So Vanderbilt now has 2 weeks. Is everybody going to be available for the next game? There are so many things that need to happen before they start setting wide receiver platoons for that game against Ole Miss. And if you watch the Ole Miss-Alabama game, you're going to need some receivers to keep up with that offense. You're going to need to put some numbers on the board. But their defense, I mean, against Alabama, obviously, that defense looked very porous in the pass game. So going to be a lot of time to watch film on Ole Miss for this Vanderbilt coaching staff and what we all hope will be Vandy's next game on Halloween, currently scheduled for 3 o'clock Central Time at Vanderbilt Stadium. Again, no game against Missouri this weekend, postponed because of Vanderbilt COVID cases. We talked about that in the first segment with Robbie Weinstein from 24/7 Sports. If you missed that interview or want to hear it again, it is online. You can subscribe to the Anchor Down podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and Google Podcasts. That's all the time we got for today. Thanks so much for joining us. You can hear us Monday nights 8 to 9 on 102.5 The Game. The Commodore Hour with Joe Fisher is right before us, so tune in for that 2-hour Commodore block on the station. We'll be back later in this week. Not sure if the COVID cases will affect our weekly player interview. Either way, we will have something to say about both football updates and a little look ahead to Vanderbilt baseball's black and gold intra-squad series at Hawkins Field this weekend, which unfortunately will not be open to fans, but we are looking forward to it. You've been anchoring down and listening up with me, Max Herz. It's the Anchor Down Podcast on ESPN. 102.5 The Game. We'll be right back.